Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning, Amy Jacobson here and John Anthony.
Hey, welcome. I'm glad to be back.
Black is Right Radio, yes. Which airs right here on AM 560 on Sundays from 1 to 3 o'clock.
Saturday.
Yeah. You know what? Can I be blonder? I do this all the time. I always think your show is on Sunday, and it's on Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
1 to 3.
Yes. Well, we have some breaking news overnight. We'll start, you know, the show today where we started it yesterday, and that is that horrific shooting on Lakeshore Drive that happened 2 days ago in broad daylight at 11 a.m. It turns out the grandmother and her boyfriend were in the vehicle with the one-year-old in the back seat. Yeah, grandma was watching the baby.
What?
And grandma's boyfriend, whose name is Jashawn Brown, 43 years old, he's the one who fired the first shot.
Oh.
So he apparently got cut off by this guy who was driving a car with Michigan plates, and they got in a shootout that took 15 rounds.
What?
To settle. They went from Soldier Field all the way to right in front of Navy Pier.
But the
Maggie Daly Park.
The way they made this come out initially was the other guy in the other car. So is he still in custody, the one that returned fire? Because I would have returned fire.
No, they're still looking for him.
Oh.
They have not found him yet. And so grandma needs a new boyfriend. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line, 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment, because that one got me. I mean, just when you think it can't get worse in Chicago, it gets worse.
Oh, my goodness.
And Lori Lightfoot, let's start with Kamala Harris, because she came into town an hour after that shooting. And so Marianne Ahern from NBC5 asked her about it.
Well, I have a longstanding commitment to what we need to do to end gun violence. And on a number of levels, that include what we need to do to have smart gun safety laws. And to understand, no baby, you know, no mother's child should die because a bullet was shot in their body.
And the child is on life support.
Oh, no.
This morning. His name is Caden Swan. That's his name. And just about to celebrate his second birthday. Oh. Mom and the grandma are at his bedside.
I couldn't imagine. I mean, you know, I have 2-3-year-old twins. I couldn't imagine having to drive in Chicago and a bullet comes in. Oh, I couldn't imagine.
As I understand it, this small child was in a car seat in the back of a car, and they were shooting going from that car and coming to that car. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, someone once said to me, and I think it's right, that children are the product of the adult ecosystem around them. I just hope that we are smarter and more committed to making sure that we set the example for our children that we want them to follow. And getting upset over a traffic incident and whether you can merge or not, that would result in gunfire is an absurdity to me.
Children are the product of the adult ecosystem around them. That's her excuse. And they always blame the guns instead of the people.
Right.
And I'm so sick of that narrative.
It was his actions, right? It was his actions of being cut off, being angry because he was cut. I mean, road rage is a serious issue, though.
Right. Well,
it's serious.
And he was charged again with unlawful use of a weapon and a felony for possession of a firearm because he had the gun illegally.
Oh.
Shocker.
No. He had his gun illegally, but you want to come after the people who are legally owning guns. Okay. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, and today, I call him Vice President. Today, Joe Biden is coming out, Biden is coming out with some new gun restrictions. Yeah. Have you ever heard of this ghost gun? All right, explain
to me.
John Anthony, in case you don't know, former cop.
Yeah.
Can I call you a cap?
A cop. No, I was a deputy. I was, you know, there's a distinction between being a deputy sheriff and a you know,
a rogue.
No,
I'm just kidding. Sheriff.
No, but it's, I believe he's talking about people that go and make their own guns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ghost guns.
Yes.
So, and there's another shooting, too, that is really bothering me because I've been hanging around or going to press conferences lately. And this group is following Mayor Lightfoot this because they're upset about the shooting of 13-year-old Adam Toledo. And this is what, just so you can get a little sense of what it's like. So this is the, one of the press conferences in the group. They stand behind the politicians and bang drums and make noise so that we can't hear the politicians.
As you already know,
this is Senator Duckworth talking. And nobody can hear what you're saying.
I know within the AAPI community, for
Thank
example,
Lori Lightfoot. Duck Lori Lightfoot.
Oh, my God.
And it's so bad that she didn't. She, her motorcade peeled off and they didn't even attend the press conference.
What?
Uh-huh. That's what's really going on, folks. But back to Adam Toledo. So this happened while people are on spring break for CPS, you know, because we need time off from e-learning. And he was out at 2:34 a.m. in the morning.
Wow.
A 13-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Hanging out with a 21-year-old who he called uncle, but it's not really his uncle.
Right.
Mom thought the boy was at dad's. Dad thought the boy was at mom's. And they're holding him to the same esteem as George Floyd.
What?
Adam has changed the world. Because of Adam, we have now changed the policy on foot pursuit. He's our George Floyd. This child was only 13 years old and was murdered in our neighborhood, and they hid the evidence for 48 hours and they still continue hiding the evidence.
And hiding the evidence means the body camera footage. The mom and the dad and whoever else was a guardian are going to see the body cam footage before it is released.
Yeah.
That's what the mayor said.
Yeah.
So we can see. But my source told me he had a weapon. A weapon was recovered at the scene.
Yes, I saw that.
They, you know, he didn't stop when police said stop, because that's always the number one problem.
Yeah.
Okay, if you run away, if you don't comply, you have a better chance of getting shot at or dying.
Yeah.
And they were in an alley, and they apparently allegedly told him to stop. He did not, and he had pointed a firearm at the officer.
What are they expecting these officers to do when somebody's not only just running at 2:30 in the morning, turns around and fires on them?
Well, I don't know if they fired on him.
Okay.
But
no, the kid turned on and fired on the cops. What are the cops supposed to do?
312-642-5600. Let's go to Craig in Mount Greenwood. You are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, Amy, and good morning, John.
Good morning.
Always good to hear you, Amy.
Thanks.
Anyway, you know, there's no incentive for these people not to go nuts with the guns and all that, because these leftists and everything are doing this to destroy our society. They let them all out. They don't even want to have them pay bail or anything. They just want to let them out right away, sooner the better, to start shooting again. And so all the laws that are on the books, they're not enforced at all. These laws are just not enforced. And this is why you can't, and they don't want to take guns away from the law-abiding citizens. It's just a nutty way of destroying our society with the guns and trying to disarm the law-abiding citizens.
He's right.
Pretty much. It's disgusting.
All right. Thanks, Craig.
He's right.
Let's go to Greg in LaGrange. Hold on. I got to reach over here. Justin, we got to change screens during the break because Mama can only stretch so far. Greg in LaGrange, yeah. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Don't hurt yourself there.
Yeah, I don't want to pull my back
John
up.
Anthony, always good to hear you.
Thank you.
Always good to hear you on Saturdays and when you guest host.
Thank you.
You know, I purposely didn't call in yesterday because that story was so repulsive. It just was so bothersome. And then I heard overnight that there was a shooting in South Carolina. And the media picks up on it and they make this. I got to be careful what I say. But it's a tragedy, right? It's a tragedy. And the news takes off on it. But how many people get shot in Chicago?
Ugh.
I mean, what bothers me, and you've got to be real delicate when you say this, but this happens all the time in Chicago, and it's like accepting the weather or something. It just happens here. And it just bothers me to the pit of my stomach that every day certain neighborhoods and certain parts of the city of Chicago go through this terrible epidemic of gun violence, and it basically gets no coverage. And then everybody gets outraged because of something else that could be politicized, and everybody throws their hands up in the air and gets crazy. But we forget about the people we live with every single day that are trying to make a living, that are trying to carve out something for their families, that get caught up in this violence. It makes me so, you know, it's just so disturbing. It's one of the reasons I will leave this state. Thank you.
Thanks. I mean, we make such a big deal over COVID cases and the whole narrative about COVID. And really, what about the homicides? What about kids getting shot? One-year-old in a car seat with a pacifier in his mouth, and he gets shot in the head.
Yeah, did I
see? And he's in medically induced coma, and they're just, you know, they're saying his condition might change in the next 2 days, but it doesn't look good.
Was it you that made the tweet that we had 40 shootings in Chicago this past week?
We had 13 since 9 o'clock the night before. 13 shots, and two killed, and one of the 13 shot was the one-year-old.
How's that not mad? How are those not quantified as mass shootings? Those are mass shootings.
Right.
In Chicago, and guess who's, it's not the gun owner, the legal gun owners that's doing these shootings. Let's talk about what's really happening in Chicago. It is not, and I love the way they had to try to hide it behind gun violence. It's not gun violence. There's a lot of gang violence, drug violence that's going on, that they're using guns for this. Nobody wants to have that conversation, though.
I know, and I don't know how to take, I mean, you can't have gun confiscation for gangbangers, or can you? Because if you're going to have gun confiscation, that's who you should be confiscating the weapons from, is all the gangbangers.
Well, they give them cards, gift cards.
Oh, yeah. Your gun buyback program. Yeah. That worked really well. Let's go to Joe in Hoffman Estates. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, guys. Morning. I had a question for Jen. First off, I love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
That's great. I was just wondering, I know you can't speak for an entire group of people, but what's your opinion on why blacks would vote for Democrats and liberals? When they see what's going on in the cities, when they see what's going on when they're elected, when they see what's going on in the neighborhoods, what would be the logic behind it? You can help me figure that out.
I think the first thing that you have to look at, what have the Republicans done to even garner or gain the black vote? Nothing. They don't engage.
Well, you know, well, Jen, I'll do respect. Donald Trump put the black community.
That's where I was going.
People back to work.
That's where I was going next. I think the way Donald Trump laid out the playbook, I think that's how you come after and gain support of the black vote, because I think so many times people think black people just want non-for-profit stuff, want all these type of things. No, black people want to bring and build equity. They want money. They want to help build legacies for their family. And the Democrat Party just has failed them for decades.
But why aren't more people waking up and realizing what's happening?
I think they are. I think what happens is the Republicans' poor articulation of how to engage that with the black vote has been, I don't want to say that word, has been poor.
Wait, what word were you going to say?
Well, I know there's some certain words you can't say on the M560 answer. But it's been poor. But when you look at how Trump engaged, he didn't just offer them free stuff. He offered them the ability to take control of their own lives, and I think that's what black. I'm sorry, go ahead. Well,
but John, but then why did they overwhelmingly vote for Joe Biden? I don't get it.
Yeah, well, I think the debate is still out there. I think when you look I think
we're going to relitigate the election for the 17,000th time.
But
thanks, Joe.
I think black people are starting to wake up, and I think that's why you saw 17% of black men voted for Trump. I believe it was 6% of black women.
17% of black men.
Black men.
For
12%
Trump.
Of the black vote went to Donald Trump,
and that's the highest number a Republican has gotten since when?
Ronald
Reagan?
Well, I think the highest percentage, but I think even there was even more voting bodies because there's more people than it was when Ronald Reagan ran. So that, I mean, I think Trump opened up and he latched onto something that I think black America is waking to.
Tom in Deer Park, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
John, Amy, good morning. I would agree with and echo your comments about the shootings in Chicago and the culture, the 41-year-old grandfather And then the notion that politicians like Lori Lightfoot and Vice President Harris and now Biden administration with gun confiscation and magazine limits, that's all a bunch of bunk. And they know it. But here's my analog. I don't know if you'll agree with it. You've got a set of partisans out there that will believe anything their leaders tell them. Their leaders can lie to them, okay, which is what the Democrats and the progressives are doing. But my analog is this. It's the same thing to President Trump and his blind followers. He can lie to them. They'll believe anything he says, and then they have their own set of media, just like everyone's got their own little bespoken set of media and believe anything they want. So how are we going to resolve anything?
That's true. Both ends of the spectrum have it. And I think it's up to people like us, Dan and Amy and John and Sean, to open up the eyes of people.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
So have you been contacted by a contact tracer? 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Because right now the kiddies are the ones that are getting COVID.
Yeah.
They don't need to be hospitalized.
Nothing.
So ages 10 through 18 is the highest group right now. Yesterday in Chicago, 3,800 new COVID cases.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And we're seeing an increase, and it's gotten so bad that the Cook County Health Department, I don't know if you know her. Her name is Dr. Rubin. She doesn't dress up as a superhero like Dr. Awardi. She's not throwing out the first pitch like yeah. Dr. Nzike yeah. is at Wrigley. She's more of the, she's less of a star chaser celebrity yeah. wannabe. But she's giving us a warning last night.
We are considering tightening up the required Uh-oh. Mitigations again if the trend continues, but we're not taking such actions now, not yet. We urge people not to congregate indoors, but to safely gather outside while following all suggested guidelines.
And so right now, the test positivity rate in Cook County is 5.7%. Okay. But again, hospitalizations are fine. ICU capacity is only at 10%.
Right.
So we have plenty of room at the inn, because
yeah.
wasn't that what this was about,
exactly.
hospitalizations? And cases?
We are in communication with the city of Chicago. We want to be in fairly close lockstep with them. And so we are, you know, we would be in discussions with them if anything were to be advanced.
And what they want to do is go back to 30% capacity instead of 40% capacity.
Yeah.
They want to restrict outdoor sporting events.
Here we go.
The number of people at outdoor sporting events. At CPS, we haven't even gotten in to see the sporting events.
Yeah.
But that's what they want to do.
What's the breakdown of all this? People are getting infected, but what's the breakdown? What's the age group?
Okay, so it is, and I'm just saying this, excuse me, because both of my sons were diagnosed with COVID.
Right.
They were tested against my will.
Uh-huh.
Since I have a parenting agreement, I get to choose medical procedures uh-huh. done on them or to them. And I was out of town. Which Mama Bear is never going to leave town, because they played a football game on Saturday.
Yeah.
And on Monday, one of my sons said, oh, I don't feel well. So I said, all right, we'll just stay home and self-isolate. And he yeah. did, but his dad took him to get tested.
Oh,
and it came back positive.
Oh.
Well, then Mom gets home and gets him tested at a different place. And guess what?
Positive.
Came back negative.
Negative.
And then my other son got tested positive, and then he got tested negative and negative. But in that time...
But do those count towards the whole positivity
yes.
rate?
See, look, that's the thing. So
this is what I mean, the breakdown.
The tests are so faulty.
Yeah, see?
That I did my own experiment, yeah. and they were all PCR tests. So, but now they shut down the football program yeah. for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And it was a false positive. And wow. guess what? Everybody's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, my one son had a 100 fever for one day.
Yeah.
And my other son, nothing. Nothing. He had nothing, because it turns out he didn't have it.
I mean, you know, since the flu and the common cold is just non-existent now anymore, right?
But we're going to shut everything down because our kids
yeah.
are getting it and they don't need to be hospitalized. Here's Dr. Awardi. I asked her point blank yesterday.
Assuming that things don't completely take off, my preference would be not to have to dial back. But if we start seeing this look like Michigan in terms of significant hospitalizations, more concerns there, and we had to make that decision, we definitely would.
Because right now, 44% of the new COVID cases are coming from five states.
Okay.
Michigan, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, and I forgot the other one. And Florida.
Okay.
Florida. But they're all aged between ages 10 to 18. And that's the group that's what?
Spring
not
breaking.
Vaccinated.
And spring breaking, too.
Now, as a parent, are you going to get your child, because they're pushing, and the CTU is pushing real hard for this, those extortionists over there.
Yeah.
They don't want to go back until our kids 16 and older are vaccinated.
Yeah.
Would you get your children
no.
vaccinated? 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line 64636, type in DA. Then a quick comment. You were so quick to say no.
I know, because I don't like this government intrusion. That's why. You know, shouldn't I as a parent decide if my kid should be vaccinated?
Well, you're not getting vaccinated.
Yeah, I'm not.
Why? It is affecting the black and brown communities.
Yeah, that's okay. And you know what? That's why.
Because they say that you have less vitamin D in your system than we do. And I don't know what doctor started that rumor, but I brought some vitamin D in for you today.
I'm really still waiting on my nature's, what's the...
It's called balance of nature.
I'm still waiting on that, Amy. No, but because I've started, what COVID made me do is start working back out.
Okay.
Watching how I eat. I started back taking vitamins and things of that nature because of it.
That's great.
It's 99.9% curable.
That's true.
So why would I go get a vaccine that I don't trust? I just personally don't trust it. I don't.
But it came from Trump.
That doesn't matter to me. I don't give a hill of beans.
Okay, that mattered to Kamala Harris because she said, I'm not taking the Trump vaccine.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Remember
to me.
That?
Yeah, yeah. I do remember that. And now they're taking all of the credit. Basically, remember Joe said he was the one that got the vaccine here.
Oh, that's right.
No, but I just don't. I'm a conservative because I don't like government intrusion. I don't like forced government. I don't. And I'll fight it. And I'm honorary like that. I'll probably just fight it just because the government believe they can dictate that I have to be forced to take something.
Yeah.
That's
and
not.
Pritzker, I mean, he even said, you know, because we're to get to phase five. Now they invented this COVID bridge.
Yeah.
And to get to the COVID bridge, we need 70% of those 65 and older to be vaccinated. This is just in the state of Illinois. And we need at least 50% of those 16 and older to be vaccinated in order to get on the bridge. Now, once we're on said bridge, then we have to wait 28 days to make sure that hospitalizations, cases, and ICU capacity is fine.
Remember, we went from 14 days.
Cases.
Now it's 28 days.
And then after that, then we could go back to normal. But I don't even know if we're going to ever have a normal, because in phase five, we're still wearing masks. Yeah.
I have been living
my
life.
And I am telling you, I am done. I got vaccinated because I don't want to wear a mask. That was my gift to the kids that I coach.
Yeah.
Because some of them have asthma, and one lives with a grandparent.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. It was about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the mask thing is where I'm getting really, really tired of wearing it at the gym, of wearing it while coaching. I mean, because I can't breathe. It is hard to function. And then I feel dumber when I put it on, because then I can't see as well. And if
especially
I have
when
sunglasses
you have your
glasses on. Yeah. And it's, you know, and it's not going to end anytime soon. Now, Georgia, by the way, back open for business today or tomorrow. Tomorrow, everything's going to be rainbows and unicorns.
Yeah. Starting tomorrow, April 8th, we will eliminate the gatherings ban and the remaining shelter in place requirements. Distance requirements for bars, restaurants, and other places of business will be a thing of the past. We will no longer allow businesses to be closed down for failure to comply with our executive orders. And we will consolidate the remaining recommended guidance into one easy-to-use list. As our COVID-19 numbers continue to trend in the right direction, and with all Georgians aged 16 and over now eligible to receive the vaccine, Dr. Toomey and I are encouraging everyone to roll up their sleeve and get their shot, so we can continue making steady progress to return to our way of life in the Peach State.
The Peach State. I love how I said Peach State.
I've never taken the flu shot, ever.
Oh, I take one every year.
Never. I've never taken the flu shot. And you know, I'm telling you, I'm like, was it Charleston Heston? Out of my cold dead. You're not going to force me to take it.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line. Let's go to Marvin, who joins us from beautiful Burlington, Wisconsin. Good morning.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, good morning. I won't take the shot. I've never had a flu shot. I mean, the flu shot's a guess. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. I have an 88-year-old mother who won't take it, won't get within 10 miles of it. I have a 94-year-old aunt who was a World War II nurse and was in all types of medical facilities. She has said she won't get within 10 miles of it. And it's because people, I don't understand why they can't just understand a little bit of simple science. Viruses mutate. The virus today is not the same as the one tomorrow or next week or next year. They change, and it's just simple science. And putting something in your body like that, not a good idea. And we don't wear masks. Haven't worn masks, and you know, it's just the overblown fear of it all. And the public allowing itself to be buffaloed by the government because they're the all-knowing entity is beyond my comprehension. I just don't get it.
All right, thanks, Marvin, for the phone call. I just, you know, I got the shots, and I'm fine. And I got my vaccination card, and a lot of people are buying vaccination cards online. But the FBI wants to remind people. It's a crime. So the FBI says making false vaccine cards, people here at this station, is a crime. The agency says there are already uncovered cases of people selling fake vaccine cards or posting them online and encourage others to print them out. They encourage everyone or anyone who encounters such a scheme to report it to the Department of Health and Human Services.
The black market. You know,
but, the black market.
But Amy...
But I carry mine around, and I'm so worried that I'm going to lose it that now I keep it with my passport.
Yeah.
Because that's how important, because I know what's going to happen. And I know the federal government, Biden came out, and Jen Psaki saying, we're not going to have a vaccine passport.
Yeah.
Bull drive in Illinois.
We're going to have
Pritzker talked about it 6 months ago. Kind of like he dabbles it in. Like, so you can have it on your phone and an app, and then you can screen it. You know, everyone gets this QR code.
Yeah.
You know, like when you go to Hawaii, you get a QR code, and you have to have that.
Everywhere you go?
And if you don't have it, they put you in your hotel room.
What?
Until you get it. Oh, yeah.
But you know what? I'm okay. If people want to go out and get the shot, I don't judge them. Because you're vaccinated. Why are you concerned about me not being vaccinated? You know, you have that right. But give me that same leniency, though. That's the problem. People are coming in basically wanting to kill us. Because we're saying, no, I don't want to inject that garbage in me.
My body, my choice.
You know, but guess what? You want to inject it? Go ahead. I will not judge you. You want to get a vaccine passport? Go ahead. I will not judge you. I just want, this is America.
America as we know it.
As we know it,
is gone. And back to contact tracers. I know I'm jumping around a little here. But so when they thought my kids had COVID, a contact tracer called my minor son and gave her the wrong information. And then she called me, and I took the call because to ream them out for calling my minor child.
Wow.
And they said, well, your son gave us the wrong information. I said, because he's a minor, and the government should not be calling my minor child to ask him questions. Where have you been? Who have you been? It was an interrogation.
What?
Where have you been? And then they called me again yesterday for my other son, and she wanted to know who my doctor was. What his phone number was, if I've taken my child to the doctor, I said, I am governing my own son. I am done. Stop calling me. You guys are harassing me. Yeah. You call me every day.
Put him on a do not call list.
Thursday, they call me Sunday, Monday. No, I talked to him Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Wow. You should record it and then put him on the do not call list.
It's unbelievable. The questions asked. And are you any symptoms? Who have you been around? I said, honey, you don't have enough time in the day to know who I've been around. I was with Tammy Duckworth. I was with Dick Durbin. And I wasn't with them, but I was at a press conference. I'm like, do you want me to go on? Because that was just one section of my day.
Right.
But, I mean, this government overreach, this is some scary stuff.
It is.
And they want to know your doctor's number. And yet, no, that is none of your business. wait till they call you guys because it's going to, it's coming. Verlon. Hi, Verlon. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Amy? Good. And John, my brother from another
mother. What's going on, Troublemaker? What's going on, Troublemaker?
Well, this is the reason why I drove to Arizona last weekend to see my daughter, because I will not be harassed by TSA or anybody else about a vaccination card or my papers. I will not take this shot. And I'm glad I learned some information from you, Amy, because I wouldn't have known, and I stopped my brother from taking the shot. We're both allergic to shellfish, and I learned that from you, and thank you.
Yeah, if you're allergic to shellfish, that. You cannot get the shot.
I have two kids
and milk allergies and peanut.
I got peanut three allergies. Kids that can't take that shot now.
And it's some serious stuff because they have a tree. Since I'll walk you through it, since you're not going to get a vaccine.
Yeah.
After you get vaccinated by a man in fatigues. Hello. Hi, privates. Can I see your private? The kids were so cute, those Illinois National Guardsmen. Anywho, after you get the shot, then you have to be in a holding area for 15 minutes. And if you have an allergy, you go to a different section where they have a triage nurse just in case you blow up. Mm-mm. And where they give you the EpiPen then and some Benadryl. Mm-hmm. It's good times, really good times. Let's go to, thanks, Verlon, for the phone call. Let's go to Tony and Roselle. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. You speak of counterfeiting COVID cards. There's a lot of nefarious reasons to do it. I would not do it for those reasons. I would just do it for the free donut at Krispy Kreme.
I know.
But I do have a card. I do have a card.
I love it, Tony.
My neighbor wanted one for donuts. I'm like, dude, that's not cool.
Really? So did you make your own card then?
No. You wanted me. You were like, can I copy that and get the donuts? I'm like, you're evil.
I know. It's so funny because, I mean, I not funny, but 80% of the people who have COVID that need hospitalization or who have died are obese or morbidly obese. So what do we do? Instead of
giving
them a free gym membership or a free salad, we give them donuts at Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme to the rescue.
That makes sense. This whole thing is crazy. Mary Kay in Western Springs. You're on Chicago.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, John and Amy. How does anybody out there know why somebody can't get the vaccine? I mean, people have legitimate reasons, and is it any of your business, really? The point is, guys, it's new. It's untested, John, right?
Yes.
We don't know. Emergency use only. It's not FDA approved.
It's not approved.
Well, yeah, and so, Amy, I know you had to sit there. I don't have 2 hours to sit in some place where some National Guard man is going to, put the vaccine in me. That scares me in the first place. If I'm getting that thing, I'm going to a hospital. Because
it's fun. Hang out with the little kids. Where are you from? Private?
If you go into anaphylactic shock, do you want to be sitting there in some tent somewhere?
No, there was an ICU nurse there.
Oh, geez.
I'm sorry. I'm making this sound really bad.
And then, you really are.
Mary Kay, when I was walking in, there was a 90-plus-year-old man on the parking lot, on the ground of the parking lot. I'm like, oh, dear
Did
God. This is
out?
Really. He passed
out. Yeah.
After taking a shot.
Yes. I had to help him to his car. I was at Triton College. I'm like, oh, boy, this is getting worse.
No.
But it does only if you do get the vaccine. It just takes a few minutes. You walk in, get it done, then you sit there for 15 minutes, and then you leave.
Okay.
Cut the thing out. Give me a couple years.
Okay, thanks, Mary Kay.
I can't go to Hawaii. All right, see you later.
But I have to tell you, though, I'm a bit of a vaccine pusher.
Yeah.
Because I selfishly want our kids to be back in school.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. And so when I score games at the high school level, I volunteer too, and I talked to all these refs who are older, who have comorbidities, and I said, well, have you gotten your vaccine? They said, I don't know how. I'm like, give me your phone. Okay, you're going to United Center Tuesday at 10. Like, thanks.
Yeah.
Because they just need somebody to force, walk them through it.
Did you see the umpires in baseball? They have to wear masks behind the plate. Oh. There's no way. How could you?
Just watch.
They're going to pass out.
They're going to fall down.
Pass out.
Take a dirt nap.
Yeah.
Amish Texter and Huntley. Well,
troublemaker. This is another troublemaker.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, though, that contract tracer calling every day. Did she offer, maybe an extended warranty on your kid's vaccination?
That's good. Good stuff, Amish Texter.
Connect with Dan and Amy using the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Thursday morning. Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony in for Dan Proft. And I heard you filled in for me last week.
I did.
How did that go?
It was fun.
Well, no,
it goes by much faster with you, though.
Oh, really?
Sorry, Dad.
Sorry, so you're having more fun with me, is what you're saying. John Anthony, host of Right is Black is Black. Right, which airs Saturdays here on AM 560 from 1 to 3 o'clock.
That's right.
Actually, I was going to call in your show
a few
Saturdays.
Why didn't you? That would have been great.
I don't know. I'd be like, Amy from Mount Prospect, Ginger from Displanger on line 2. No, I just... I'll let you do your show, and then we can do ours.
I call in Shashan's program as Pierre Delecto.
Pierre, really?
Mitt Romney's own name.
Oh, that's right. Pierre Delecto. Yeah. That's right. Why did Romney have a pseudonym? Why did he make
Because you can say whatever he wanted to say.
Oh, that's so goofy.
It is.
Trump had one, too. What was Trump? Baron?
Baron Von Trump or something like that?
Yeah, and actually he ended up naming his son Baron. So, all right, so phone lines are open, 312-642-5600. We're talking about voter laws. Are they racist? Because as everybody knows, in case you haven't been living under a rock, they moved the Major League Baseball game from Atlanta to Colorado. And Colorado and Atlanta have pretty much the same exact voter registration laws, if you actually look at them.
Yeah. I think they got the same black population too, though, right?
No, they don't. There's more minorities in Atlanta.
Exactly.
This just in. But 17 days for early voting in Georgia. 15 in Colorado. You have to show an ID in Colorado, just like now you have to show an ID in lovely Georgia. And the only difference is that mail-in ballots are mailed out to everybody in Colorado, and that's not what it's like in Georgia.
But it's also a leftist state, too. So that's
That's why they chose.
Yeah.
So as a black man, I wanted you to listen to this man on the street vignette that people did about voter ID laws and our voter laws racist. Okay, so they start talking to white people, and then later they're starting talking to black people about, you know, just hear for yourself.
Do you have an opinion on voter ID laws?
Yeah, they're usually pretty racist.
I think voter ID laws are a way to perpetuate racism.
Would you go as far as say those laws are racist?
For sure.
Do you think it suppresses the African-American vote?
Definitely. Because they're less likely to have state IDs.
These type of people don't live in areas with easy access
to
DMVs
people?
Or other places where they can get identification.
Do you think black
that's
people,
harder for black people
with?
To go online?
Well, I feel like they don't have the knowledge of how it works.
Do you carry ID?
Yes, I do.
Do you know anybody any black person who doesn't carry ID?
No.
Do you have ID?
Yes.
Because I have my ID and my friends have their ID, so we know what
black
we need
people
to carry
have.
Around.
Everybody that I know have ID. Like, that's one of the things you need to walk around with New York with.
I heard a lot also that black people can't figure out how to get to the DMV.
Really?
What does that say to you?
I know it's that. It's on 25th Street.
Do you know where the ID, the DMV is around you?
It's on 125th Street and 3rd Avenue, I believe.
Yeah. 312-642-5600, Turnkey Depro, Enter Line. I mean, when people ask you for your ID, what do you scream? Oh, you're racist!
Yeah, no. I show.
Have you ever in your life thought that somebody asking you for an ID was racist?
No. So I'm going to try that theory out. I'm going to go to a Cubs game and they, you know, buy something, a beverage, and they request my ID. I'm saying, that's racist.
You're going to say.
I mean, come on, black people. See, this is that soft bigotry that happens in America with black people. I talked about it on my show last week. Black people are successful. Black people are very, very smart. But when you listen to these liberal white people and how they think about black people, you just heard it. You just heard how they think about, these people can't get to the DMV. Oh, these people don't know how to do this. Oh, these people can't afford an ID. Are you kidding me?
Have you seen the movie The Hate U Give?
Yes, with the little girl. Yes.
I love that movie. I actually watched it twice on a plane there and on a plane back. If you guys can watch The Hate U Give, it's an acronym for THUG. Mm-hmm. It's really good because in that movie, they talk about how, you know, these white liberals are so down with the struggle and how it's offensive to African Americans.
It is. But it's
their
guilt.
Isn't that the greatest? But that movie really hit home.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Because it bothers me. And if I was black, I'd be so peed off that people think, I don't know how to get to the DMV.
Yeah.
That I'm stupid and I don't know how to do anything.
Well, Joe Biden said we don't know how to use computers and the internet and all that too. Remember, don't forget that. But what they say is glossed over. Black people are smart. Black people are very productive. They know how to use the internet. They know how to use the cell phones. They're not this Bojangle people that you think. They're not these coons and Uncle. No, shut up.
Here's President Biden.
I think that's up to the masters. Look.
They're pulling out the masters, which starts today.
You know, it is reassuring to see that for-profit operations and businesses are speaking up about how these new Jim Crow laws are just antithetical to who we are. There's another side to it, too. The other side to it, too, is when they, in fact, move out of Georgia, the people who need the help the most, people who are making hourly wages, sometimes get hurt the most. I think it's a very tough decision for a corporation to make.
I mean, pick a side and stick with it.
You already hurt.
He was placating to both sides.
Yeah.
But calling it Jim Crow laws?
Yeah.
Really, this is about separate water fountains and... Yeah. And places you could sit on a bus? No.
No.
They're just asking for ID.
Which, how many states currently ask for ID? Yeah. But it's not racist in Colorado where they moved the All-Star game at. Okay. Yeah.
I'm not even going to watch the All-Star game.
That logic is
312-642-5600. Let's go to Dave in Wakanda. Good morning, Dave. You're on Wakanda Chicago's Morning Answer. I think that's
good
here, Wakanda. Hello.
Good morning, Amy. How are you this morning?
Good.
I have read all of the voter laws and the changes that they made. I have a colleague at work that is a diehard Democrat, mm-hmm. and he is insistent that these are absolutely racist, and these are going to be, they're so difficult for these people to vote in these poor communities and things. And I said, please show me what, show me where, show me how. And he doesn't basically have an answer except that they removed the mobile voting unit. I said, that's a good idea. You got to have more of a safe and secure situation for our elections. And Major League Baseball and Coca-Cola and Delta have really set a major precedent. I honestly and truly believe that these corporations did not read the entire law as it was written. Yeah. And they're jumping on the Me Too bandwagon.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
and
you're right.
We need to stick up for ourselves.
Rob Manfred politicized baseball over a bill he never read.
Yeah.
He's just like being one of the cool kids. All right. Let's yeah.
You see what Rubio
you know,
said
to him? Over. What did Rubio say?
Hey, you're a member of Augusta. Are you going to resign from the
yes,
being
thank
a member?
You very much.
Thanks. No, did he really?
Rubio called him out. Why are you still a member of Augusta?
Yeah. Why are you giving business to Georgia?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he should, you know, he should resign his membership. How does one leave Augusta? You just don't send in the monthly check?
Well, you probably have to do an official resignation.
Oh, gosh. Mike on the South Side, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning. I just wanted to point out that, the great Sean Hannity had stated that it's a requirement for photo identification to enter into the NAACP convention. So I don't.
Ouch!
I don't get it. You know, or if you want to go into any U.S. capital or you know, certain places like that.
Well, if you want to fly a plane, if you want to buy booze at the Jewels,
the nightclub,
you got to show. Oh, the nightclub, yeah, anywhere, the bars.
You want to buy a drink?
You want to buy a drink? You want to buy me a drink?
Yeah,
it's early. We can get started
5 o'clock
now.
Somewhere.
We'll be drunk by 9. All right, thanks, Mike, for the phone call. Let's go to Chris in Jefferson Park. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, John Anthony. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
My comment is that the people who are the actual racists are the people who are saying that, you know, black people don't have the ability to get on the internet, or they have no idea where the DMV is, or they don't have the ability or the capability to go get a state ID. Those are really the people who are racist,
yes.
And that's who we really need to start calling racist, because making those blanket statements is the racist comment, not asking people to give an ID to go to vote.
Yep.
That's just my comment.
Thank you. And I mean, I just wonder when they're going to wake up and liberals are going to realize, oh, maybe I sound racist.
Yeah.
Because some of them are.
They don't care.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
quickly, we'll take some more phone calls before we head into the newsroom for Mike's News. Eduardo in Midway, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. I wanted to comment that I think if the Republicans take over the either the House or the Senate, they're going to push Mr. Biden away, and they're going to insert Ms. Harris. And then with the help of the media, they can push their agenda. And then if there's any criticism from Congress, it'll be deemed racist, of course.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah,
like they did Obama.
Yeah, and when Kamala Harris was here in Chicago the other day, she reminded people that, yeah, they lived in Champaign for a while because both of her parents were professors.
My sister was born in Champaign, Illinois. Yes, my younger sister. So, yes, we were here. I was very young.
So she stepped foot in Illinois. I know, you can't stand her voice.
So she's from, now she has a history here
well,
in Illinois.
Well, she's not claiming it as her home, but yes, they lived here for a while. Quickly, Nathan in Fond du Lac. Hello, Nathan. Ooh. How are you?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm amazed at how major corporations who basically dictate policy to our government, state, local, federal, and the games that they will play being hand in hand with it. And when you look into the actual markets, what they're trying to do is to create a labor force that truly is a low paying labor force.
Yeah.
Everything that they do, these manipulations, and that's all they are.
Yeah.
People don't see what's actually happening. And the conglomerates, it's just a way of them taking control. It gives them press. It gives them all this coverage. We're sitting there talking about it.
Yeah.
But straight up, they're the dirtbags that are pushing their agendas and getting everything they want. They're getting the controlled media.
Yep.
I mean, this station is a breath of fresh air, but yet the more you hear, the more frustrating it gets.
All right. Thanks, Nathan.
I love listening to you guys. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, Nathan. We got to jump.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. When you've got questions, he always has an answer. It's Sean Hannity, this afternoon at 2 on AM 560, The Answer.
Welcome back to Chicago's Morning Answer. Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony in for Dan Proff today. Thank you for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And you're the host of Black and Right Radio.
That's right.
Which is Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. right here on AM 560.
Inside
so the other day I went to, after Vice President Kamala Harris toured one of the vaccination sites here in Chicago, her first visit as vice president. And then we had a press conference. The senators, Congressman Danny Davis, Mayor Lightfoot and Governor Pritzker were supposed to be there. For some reason, they didn't show up. But Congressman Davis said this about the one-year-old who was shot because it happened in his district.
To purchase a gun.
We have background checks and laws in place. What about a mandatory gun confiscation?
I'm in favor of that. As a matter of fact, if we stopped making them, then I would be in favor of not making handgun that individuals use to hunt other people with. And so it's a big issue. It's a big problem. It requires serious attention. And that's what's being done right now in every instance that the people that I'm talking about have an opportunity to decide.
And today, President Biden is going to be announcing an executive order, a crackdown on guns. With more on this, let's welcome to the program Congressman Danny Davis. He's in charge of the 7th Congressional District. Good morning, Mr. Davis, and thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, and it's a pleasure.
Yeah, so you wanted, besides gun confiscation, you had another idea to try and stop the manufacturing of guns. Can you explain?
Well, my point actually is that guns are too readily available in our society right now. And not only are guns too easily to acquire, but we don't have the kind of regulation that we need to have. Now, I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe all of those things were relative as they were being developed. But, you know, if you don't have a gun available in certain situations, people would still be alive. And I think we're talking about reduced in violence? How do we make it happen? One way is to reduce the number of guns available to people in our country.
But we had a gun ban here in Chicago for 25 years, and nothing changed. And since this, you know, since this week started, Congressman, we've had 53 people shot, 14 killed. So the laws that we have in place, the bad guys aren't following those laws anyway.
And that's right. The bad guys aren't following them. But then the good guys, in many instances, get caught up with them. And if they didn't have them, they'd find an alternative to what they did. We know that there is poverty. There is disadvantagement. There are people who are unhappy and people who are perturbed. All of those things happen, and all of those are contributing factors. We may not be able to get rid of all of it. There's some things you can't get rid of. But if you remember the old Western town, once things got out of hand, then they put some laws in effect. When you come to town, you had to check your gun. Well, if you weren't going to do anything with it, they wouldn't have worried about whether you checked it or not.
Yeah.
So they understood even then that the presence of guns oftentimes created violent situations that would not happen if the gun was not there.
Hey, Congressman, this is John Anthony. I've been knowing you since I was a kid. I'm a product of the 21st Ward, 53rd Precinct. I knew you, hung out with you many a times as a kid. But here's my question. What do you think would be the unintended consequences of just taking away legal gun owners' weapons away from them? I mean, because when I think about it, you said you support the Constitution. You swore to uphold the Constitution. The Constitution says shall not infringe. Listening to what you're saying, it's telling me that those are infringements upon a constitutional right, not a permission, but a right. So what are the unintended consequences that may happen if we start taking guns away from law-abiding citizens?
Well, I think you're not going to take them away from law-abiding citizens, because what you would do is create the kind of law. All that you're really saying is that let's have universal background checks. So let's see who is purchasing and decide who can and who cannot. There are some restrictions that can be put upon society. Doesn't mean that you're really taking away their right. It means that you're protecting their right, because you want law-abiding citizens, those people who might not be law-abiding, you're going to restrict them because you may find out who they are.
But doesn't that develop what people like myself, I don't know if you know, but I'm a former state rep here in Illinois, a Republican, black guy as well. But doesn't that create the list of where government can basically understand and know what guns you have? I don't want the government to know what I have. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. Personally, I don't think it's the government's right to know what type of weapons I have, because, I mean, we're talking about the government. Stuff gets leaked. And, you know, people will know what guns are in your house, this whole registry. What are your thoughts about it? Because it sounds like this is developing and building that gun registry that a lot of two-way people have been fearing for decades.
You know, even when we get philosophical, we have to realize that my rights end where the next person's rights begin. And that's the real basis of an enlightened democracy,
right?
Is realizing that my rights cannot infringe upon your rights. So I have a right to protect my home. I have a right to protect myself, but I don't have the right to walk around with Uzis and with weaponry that you would have if you was at war.
Yeah.
And I don't have the right to allow others to acquire those. So I don't think we're trying to limit anybody's right to protection.
Right.
I think we're trying to increase society's ability to determine what it is that people live with and what they don't have to die with.
Right. And I think when you're looking at the universal background, where you want basically all 50 states and also the outlying areas to understand and know who's getting what compared to where Illinois may do it different from Texas.
Or from Wisconsin. Or
from Wisconsin.
So that's what everyone means when they say universal background check, because Mayor Lightfoot's pushing for that too. But is that, I mean, is that enough, Congressman Davis, universal background checks?
Oh, no, that's not enough. I'm saying there are certain things. For example, we used to ban automatic and semi-automatic weaponry. And you're right. Chicago, for 25 years, we had some pretty tough laws. But then, of course, surrounding places did not have the same ones. And individuals still could acquire those and just walk across the street and be in Chicago or bring them into Chicago.
Yeah.
We have problems. We are a big urban environment in this country for the most part. And that's an issue. And that's a problem. Yeah. Although rural America have the same problem. So it's more than just the urban street action that we are experiencing. All of the mass shootings that have taken place in other places, something is producing those.
Yeah. Hey, Congressman, do you own a gun?
I do not.
Oh.
Have you ever been to a shooting range?
I have owned a gun. I grew up in rural America, everybody had a gun.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But see, I think that there right there lies the problem. A lot of people that are creating laws don't really understand the functionality of guns, the nomenclature of guns.
Well, they're scared of them. But
right.
They
they're very afraid of
shooting.
And I think going to a gun range, going to a police gun range as well, I think understanding and getting comfortable with guns. I have a lot of family members who I come from Chicago, Cabrini Green Housing Projects, that don't like guns. They're very afraid of them because of what they think they can do. But, you know, I believe what the government, the federal government, what the state of Illinois, because I fought real hard in the state of Illinois against a lot of these measures that are now being talked about federally. I think people really need to understand if you've never held a gun, you've never shot a gun, you've never been around a gun, I think it's kind of hard to make a law about a gun. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I agree with all of that. As a matter of fact, we had guns, but we didn't touch those guns unless we were given the authority to do so. They just sat in the corner of the house, wherever my father had it, and it was there, and we knew why it was there, and we knew what it was for. So, yes, there are ways to teach people and help them to understand certain values and certain principles. But again, if too many guns are just floating around, everybody who wants one, there was a reason why we stopped.
Right.
I'm saying, you know, I love a Western movie.
Yeah.
I've always loved
them.
but there's a reason they changed their way and decided, don't bring your gun to town.
So if you
don't bring your gun to the bar, don't bring your gun to the saloon. So keep your gun at home, protect yourself, but don't walk around with it. And I think that's part of what the Second Amendment intended. And I think things change.
Right, and I understand that. And you said that you grew up with, you know, a weapon in the house, and you respected your, you know, parents, you don't touch it unless you need to. But do you really believe that we should have a mandatory gun confiscation for even, you know, law-abiding citizens that, you know, are properly storing their weapons and things like that?
Well, I think we've had many of these volunteer gun give backs, and people have done so. I think that you create environments and atmospheres that people will buy into. As long as they feel like they have the what people in this country really like is the ability to decide.
Yeah.
And so you give them options and opportunities to decide. And many people will automatically bring their guns in. But I don't think we've got to go around and try and collect every gun that exists. But I think we can do a much better job of regulating who has access the gun.
But Congressman, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We're pressed for time, but I don't mean to interrupt you. But when I look at what's happening in places like Chicago, Philadelphia, Compton, Watts, all those places, I'm not seeing the problem being guns. I'm also a former police officer. I'm not seeing the problem being guns. I'm seeing the problem being drug and gang violence, which guns are then used to perpetuate crime and to shoot and kill people in these communities, especially communities where black and brown people are. When are we ever going to, if we really want to have that discussion, can we have that discussion about how these are the driving forces that's causing a lot of the crime in cities like Chicago?
But it's a combination of both. It's a combination of all. So you put gangs and drugs and a gun all together, and then you get death.
Right. All right. And Congressman, before we let you go, do you have any idea why Mayor Lightfoot and Governor Pritzker didn't show up at that press conference the other day?
You know, I really don't know, although I know that there were some protesters there. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know why they didn't come.
Okay.
But of course, protesters don't bother me. I think people have a right to protest and express themselves in whatever way they decide, as long as it is legal and orderly.
Yeah, all right. This guy doesn't age. I love this guy.
Oh, yeah, Congressman Davis, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Listen to podcasts of Dan and Amy from the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Back to baseball we go. Good morning, Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony filling in for Dan Proft. His show is Black and Right. Heard here Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. So glad to have you. Today's the White Sox home opener.
Okay.
I wonder if Mayor Lightfoot's going to be there. Because she was there, at Wrigley Field. You know how that went.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please direct your attention to the playing field as we welcome the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot.
And she was there, with all her girlfriend, Dr. Awardi, yeah. Dr. Nzike, because now they're celebrities. Doctors turned celebrities. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And they all had their Cubs jerseys on with their names in back. I saw that picture, and I thought it was repugnant.
Yeah.
That is so sick to me that they're – be in your office at work in the health department, in the city's health department.
Is the mayor a Cub fan?
Oh, well, she was the other day, but she might be a Sox fan. I don't know if she's thrown out the first pitch.
That was smart on the Cubs, though.
What, to get her there?
Well, they
had to – convince her via a super PAC donation of $250,000. Thank you, Jerry Reinsdorf, to open up fans in baseball. Because if any sport needs fans in baseball or needs fans, it's Major League Baseball.
They're being held hostage for campaign contribution.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's how that works. You rub my back, I'll rub yours.
Yeah.
Let us have 30%, 20% capacity, and we'll donate money to your super PAC for your reelection bid.
Wow.
People should know that that's how things
open
work.
Open it all up.
In Chicago. But speaking of baseball, Georgia's on everybody's mind because they moved MLB All-Star Game to Denver. And Stacey Abrams, who claims to represent the people of Georgia, I don't think she's conceded yet that she lost the
election. No, she hasn't.
Election. Yeah.
She has not.
But now she's trying to walk it back.
I understand the passion of those calling for boycotts of Georgia following the passage of SB 202. Boycotts have been an important tool throughout our history to achieve social change. But here's the thing. Black, Latino, AAPI, and Native American voters whose votes are the most suppressed under SB 202 are also the most likely to be hurt by potential boycotts of Georgia.
To our friends across
the country, please do not boycott us.
Duh.
And to my fellow Georgians, stay and fight, stay and vote.
I mean, this woman is a hot mess.
Where's the suppression in the bill, though? I read the bill. Thoroughly.
SB 202, because I love those names. I got your H152 here, but SB 202 is real sexy.
Yeah.
No, but you read the bill. What's?
Yeah, I see nothing. Honestly, Georgia should be the standard for the rest of America. That bill should be the standard because, but see, here's what happens. the other side understands that it stops any of their cheating. If they want a so-called cheat, it stops all of that. Because now you have to have an ID to come in and vote. It doesn't say you can't drink water. Right. I don't know where they got this crap
from. Politicians just can't hand out water.
Of course.
But anybody else, an election judge. Right, exactly. So with more on this, let's welcome back to the program Janelle King. She's co-founder of Speak Georgia, panelist on Fox 5 Atlanta, Georgia Gang, and former deputy state director of the Georgia Republican Party. Good morning, Janelle. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. I'm happy to be back.
Great. So what's going on with Stacey Abrams? Is she to blame for MLB leaving, or was she trying to get them to stay?
You know what? I think that she is part to blame because initially she was sending out text messages encouraging people to boycott these businesses and to boycott. And then what I'm guessing happened was maybe the commissioner, the Cobb County commissioner, Lisa Cupid, maybe called her and said, hey, this is crazy. Boycotting businesses don't hurt Republicans. It hurts the people that work for these businesses. And then she tried to walk it back. But it was too late at this point because now she has the president of the United States viewing her lies. So he's not going to walk it back because then that means he has to fact check himself, which is something that he doesn't do very well. So at the end of the day, we found ourselves in a position where I wanted to see, this was for me, this was an opportunity for me to see who really carried the power.
That's it.
You know, was it Stacey Abrams and Commissioner Cupid here in Georgia, or is it Joe Biden? And clearly he won, and now we are in a serious, serious situation. I've talked to businesses who have been impacted by this, and a number of these businesses are minority businesses,
yeah,
which is really, really interesting.
And Janelle, the way I look at this, I look at Uncle Ben's, I look at Aunt Jemima, and then I look at what happened with this voting bill. It seems like the left is trying to basically erase anything black. And I can only imagine the vendors and how they were affected by this.
It's $100 million in lost revenue.
Yeah.
And Dan was like, I go, no, that's a lot of
money. It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of hotel cancellations, a lot of restaurants. Yeah. People aren't going to go to, you know, Foggy Bottom and drink after the game.
Right. Yeah.
So, Janelle, you've talked to these people. I mean, that are going to lose out on. No, I didn't mean it. Gosh, this is so bad. You talked to people who are going to be losing out, correct?
I did.
Line of work?
Yeah, so there's one business that I also spoke with the Cobb Chamber president, Mr. John Loud, and there was one business who is a tent service, and so they had, if I'm not mistaken, about 100,000 in like pre-orders ready to go because people are going to do a lot of outdoor events and outdoor vending. And so, and I think we need to add too that it's not just the All-Star Game; it was All-Star Week,
right?
So there's
exactly.
A couple of days of this, right? So,
yeah, the home run derbies one day. I mean, it's fun. Yeah. We had the All-Star Game here, and place was packed, and you know, I've never seen so many people at Comiskey Park. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was so much. So this tent service, they weren't able to provide any services during the pandemic, and so they were looking forward to this. And then there was a Jamaican restaurant that's around the corner from the Battery where the stadium is. And that restaurant, they said that they used a lot of their return earnings to hire new people to prepare for this. So now they're in a position where it's like, do I let these people go? And that creates another issue. Or do I keep them not knowing if I'm going to be able to afford them later? So all of it is just absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, you listed off all the foolishness that they're spewing concerning this bill, but I'm with you. This bill is most certainly better than in most states, and I just couldn't believe that they are taking it this direction.
Yeah, Janelle, how do we make this a teaching moment for especially black voters? Because I think so many times in the black community, we just take this type of stuff and just, oh, they're looking out for our best interest. How do we make this a teaching moment to attract? Because I said earlier on the show, I think Trump laid out the playbook of how we garner more, because I'm a former black state representative here in the state of Illinois. How do we use this as a teaching moment to draw more people into not so much republicanism, but conservatism and just a change of mind of how they think about politics?
Yeah, you know, I'm with you, and that's something that stays constantly on my mind. And I think it's that we have to get ahead of this. You know, when it first happened, I was happy to see that our governor and the governor's team put together the press conference the very next day, which was not anticipated from the Democrat side. So there was no counter on that, right? So, and he laid it out. He laid out exactly what was happening and what wasn't happening. And I think it's important that people like myself, like you, that are a part of the minority community that gets it, explain to the minority community in ways that are understandable, right? And I'm not saying that there's a lack of intelligence,
right,
but sometimes, you know, you have to consider the fact that many of the people in our community are just not as equipped to put most of their time into politics, right? They're working two jobs in some cases. In other cases, you know, they're just, you know, we're all trying to push forward and we're just doing other things. So making sure that we provide accurate information, I use my every platform I have to do that. And then trust me, there are a lot of people that get it. There really are. There's a lot of minorities that really do understand. And I think that's going to happen. It's going to show up. We're going to see the results of that in 2022.
Wow. Now, one thing I wanted to ask about the election, 1,700 people in Georgia voted twice. They voted mail-in ballots and then on election day. And this is during the general election, of course. They voted again. Have they ever been prosecuted or received a fine, or they're just going to let this one slide over the plate? Not to use a sports metaphor, which I just did.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
I don't know. That is a question that I have. That's more of a question for our attorney general.
Yeah.
But I'm asking the same questions. I think that will also show that we not only are able to locate when these things happen, but there are consequences to it. And then it refutes the Democrats who keep telling us that nothing happened. There was no election fraud. And the thing about it is, we know that there were things that happened. You know, I have one of my best friends is on the Fulton County Board of Elections. She gave me insight on certain things.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about it, but I think it's most important that our attorney general jump on this and say, hey, you know, let's prosecute these people and show that there are consequences to these actions.
Well, whatever became of the, you know, the suitcases full of ballots that came out. I mean, whatever happened with that?
Well, it's interesting. So the director of the Fulton County director that manages the election process was fired by the board of elections. It was a bipartisan decision. But the funny thing is, the commission, when it kicked it over to the commission, they said that, you know, we are going to overturn the board's decision. Now, that's another problem within itself, because what is the point of having a board of elections if the commission, which happens to be, it's actually a 3-on-3 split, 3 Republicans, 3 Democrats, and then the chairman, he leans Democrat, so he's like that final vote. So they voted it out. And I'm assuming they're going to go ahead and let him continue. They're trying to work that out now in the courts to see who has the authority to really get rid of this guy. But it was a Democrat on the Fulton County Board of Elections that was kind of leading the discussion to get rid of him. Hmm. So, you know, but this is the stuff that the media hides. You know how it is. And we it's up to us to kind of keep pushing it out.
All right. Janelle King, always a pleasure having you on. You're awesome.
Have on my show.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes, we'll share your information with you, John Anthony. Yeah. We'll have you back again here real soon. Janelle King, co-founder of Speak Georgia and the former deputy state director for the Georgia Republican Party. Thanks, Janelle, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And she joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
The more you listen, the more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Morning Answer.
On AM 560, The Answer.
Are you aware that American Eagle?
I'm so excited. John Anthony is going to take some Balance of Nature. We're doing shots of it. Shots. It's 7:30. We're going to do that. But now let's go to the phone lines. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. Or you can always text us at 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Kathleen joins us from Avalon Park. Good morning, Kathleen.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Good morning, John Anthony.
Good morning.
It's been great listening to the show this morning. You guys are doing a terrific job. And I just want to comment on the Danny Davis interview. I'm glad you had him on. I'm glad he came on. Thank you, Congressman Davis, if you're listening or your people are listening. Thank you for that. However, with all due respect, Congressman Davis never addressed the criminal mentality issue once.
Yep.
And he only proposed more laws and more government control. And I see a larger issue that's really not discussed either on the left or the right. And I'm just going to quickly break it down like this. I think the Congressman Davis, along with Bobby Rush, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, et cetera, continue to regurgitate the same old tired lines and bark up the same old Democrat trees, seeking more money, more laws, and more government programs. And they've been around for decades. But what we're seeing now is a really precipitous decline in a short period of time that I think is due to something else. We're looking at the last 5 to 7 years as opposed to the decades that they've been around. The change we're seeing now, in my opinion, is due to something that's obvious, but it's not being talked about. And that's how the Democrat Party and their corporate backers have strategically made the face of change in America Black women. They sold Black women a bill of goods with feminist ideology, and then they methodically fast-tracked Black women to positions of power, thereby relegating the Black male to the sidelines. And that's against the natural order of things. That's why we're seeing so much disorder and chaos permeating throughout the Black community and emanating from the Black community in too many instances. What we're seeing is the Democrat Party and their socialist co-visionaries, intent on fundamentally changing America. They've successfully indoctrinated Black women in universities, in corporate America, and in politics, grab hold of the reins, and basically lead America over the abyss. What we're seeing is a brilliant strategy, because people like Lightfoot, Fox, Mayor Bottoms in Atlanta, Abrams, Harris,
Tony Preckwinkle,
they can go Preckwinkle to a lesser extent, but all of them, they can do what they want carte blanche because people are afraid of being called racist and misogynist.
And you're a former Democrat.
I'm a former Democrat, a former leftist. I drank all the Kool-Aid. I went to their schools. I was all about women's rights and pro-choice and all that garbage. But let me just say this. Beta males are too concerned with being liked. The only way America will get back on track is for alpha males to take up their rightful place as leaders and defenders of the Constitution and Judeo-Christian values.
Come on.
With no apologies and no exceptions.
All right. This is, I mean,
and never bend the knee to the rage mob. Dana Lowe's place.
Thank you so much for your phone call. That was very good.
Wow.
She nailed it.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
You can win $12,000 towards the purchase of a new car or to cover your existing car payments just by doing acts of kindness. Learn more at 560theanswer.com/kindness.
Oh, this is really bad scene. Oh, we were supposed to work on our show tune. Oh, yeah, we're supposed to do shots of Balance of Nature.
Come on, Amy.
8 o'clock. All right, we'll get our Balance of Nature in. All right, so when will it end? When will we be in the clear? When will we be unmasked as a society, especially here in Illinois? Kamala Harris, the vice president, spoke with Marianne Ahern about that.
Do you think the worst of the COVID pandemic is over?
I think that there is a lot of good work that is happening because people are wearing their masks, they're washing their hands, social distancing. And if we stay the course, we've come too far now. I do see light at the end of the tunnel, but we are not out of this.
Okay. If I have one more politician tells me to wash my hands, I might get sick. I mean, honest to God, I washed my hands before this, and guess what? I'm going to wash my hands after this.
Yeah, so
I'm going to govern myself.
That's right.
And I,
that's
it. So there seems to be, and you were talking about it too, that people driving around with masks on when they're alone in their car. When I was coming to work this morning at 3:30 a.m. Maybe it was 4:30 a.m. A guy, I'm going down Addison to get to the Kennedy, and a guy is walking his dog with a mask on.
Outside. Nobody's around.
No one's around.
Okay.
And I looked at him like, what is wrong? The psychosis.
Special kind of special.
What is, you know, how are we going to undo that?
You're not. Fear. The fear that it's, fear is paralyzing. And I think it's paralyzing
to
the point. Oh, it does.
And
it does.
They don't want to let it go.
It got us $8 billion. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Yeah. With more on this, let's welcome, I think, first time to the program, Dr. Brian Artis. He's the CEO of ArtisLabs.com and the host of the podcast, The Dr. Artis Show. See how he did that there?
I did.
Yes. And we're going to talk to him about this COVID cult that seems to be going on. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
Good morning, Amy and John.
Morning.
Yes. How are you? Good. So how do we undo this psychosis, this craziness? I don't know what state you're in, but in Illinois, it's really bad.
Well, we're in Texas, and it's not as bad, but it's still, if you're in this country, it's still ridiculous to any degree. So I'm glad you played the clip of Harris, and I'm really glad Harris did not give any credit in her statement to the vaccines helping to remove the pandemic. That's the first thing I have to say. I'm glad you just mentioned mask wearing and washing of your hands, and let's just talk about the mask thing first. Obviously, people are wearing masks and are actually agreeing. Some people have been surveyed that they will continue to wear the mask after COVID-19 is over just to protect the public health. And this is one thing I've been talking about since June and going on the radio and TV shows is the mask that you see people wearing, like probably the one you saw being worn while someone was walking their dog this morning. These surgical type masks are actually designed to trap certain size particles. And this is one thing, not just me, but multiple medical doctors I've been talking about also who are surgeons who wear those masks every day for decades in their career. Those masks are actually designed to trap 3 microns or bigger size particles. Now, this is to help remove fear for the audience listening. The masks are not protecting anybody from COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2 because the size of that particle or that molecule called COVID-19 is 0.125 microns, which is thousands of times smaller than the, or hundreds of times smaller than the 3 microns that those masks actually trap. And that is also, this also disproves the whole social distancing thing also. Yep. Anything that's smaller than 3 microns, physicists have already been able to prove for decades, they're called air fluid particles because they float in the air for what they have measured to be up to 27.2 feet, and then they stop measuring.
Oh.
So these particles go way farther than 6 feet or 3 feet now, Biden suggests, for some college campuses. The social distancing was a made-up guess of how to distance yourself from each other. It's not relevant or scientific for this size virus. And the masks were never designed to trap particles the size of COVID-19. And you don't have to believe me. Go to drleememerritt.com. That's Dr. Lee Merritt. She's a spinal surgeon. She has done many demonstrations and presentations on just what these masks are designed to hold, trap, and as a surgeon, she would know, she's worn them for 20 years. So, and was never taught in medical school. Mm-hmm. They help to trap viruses of any kind.
I know, and I got bacterial pneumonia from wearing a dirty mask because they make us work out in them here. And they so then your mask becomes soaking wet with sweat.
Touching.
And then everyone's touching their face. I've never touched my face so much because I have to wear these stupid masks everywhere. But working out, then what good is a wet mask? Does that do anything, doctor?
It sounds incredible to increase your chances of just what you mentioned, bacterial pneumonia. Bacteria is going to get trapped in the moisture of that mask, even with just breathing. You know, there's heat and steam in your gas exchange from breathing. Mm-hmm. It's going to get trapped in the mask. It's already proven you're going to actually absorb and inhale not only bacteria you're breathing out, you're going to be breathing back in CO2, which is supposed to be escaping your body. And now there's evidence that the microfibers in the mask get inhaled into your lungs.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah, because people keep wearing the same mask over and over, and it gets peely, like little, and they're inhaling those particles.
Yeah.
So if these masks have been actually pumped out to us, giving us information every day to make a decision to wear a mask out of fear, this is what I have a problem with.
Yes.
I've been actually educating people from June that everything that they're doing around COVID-19, National Institutes of Health, FDA, and the CDC, and the media, they are using the same tactics every effective, destructive cult has ever used to manipulate people. And if you watch, when you have people surveyed saying, you know, when this actual pandemic goes away, I'm still willing to wear my mask, up to 60 to 70% of all people. This is what's called thought reform or brainwashing.
Yeah.
Because what they're actually agreeing to in these surveys is they say they're going to continue to wear it for public health reasons. Well, the actual scientific proof is it doesn't provide any benefit to your health or the public's health, nor does it prevent the spread of this virus. So why would you continue to wear it if it doesn't actually have proof scientifically that it works and it doesn't do that? The only reason why people would do that is the same reason why I was raised in a less destructive cult, but it's called the Mormon Church.
Wow.
And the Mormon Church has you convinced that if you don't wear their underwear, Satan can destroy you. and you will physically get hurt, but if you wear it, it will protect you from physical harm and spiritual harm. And I have a brother who does not go to that church anymore, but still can't take off his Mormon underwear because he knows his parents, my parents, will notice. And then he will have shame and guilt from the family. This is no different than what the mask propaganda has
well, is
done.
That why so many people? Because I was just in St. George, Utah, and there's a lot of Mormons there, and there are a lot of people wearing masks that were not. That are wearing them, that weren't wearing them before. Is it for religious reasons?
These guys are perfect examples. All the Mormon Church, perfect examples of thought reform, which is brainwashing. Mm. They've been brainwashed their whole life since they were born, and so was I. I was born into the Mormon Church, 7 generations. And once I was actually able to see and read the things I was not allowed to read about the history of the Mormon Church, that's when the whole story fell apart. And this year, what I noticed was, is you're having information about COVID and about masks being censored from the public, and you have to do that in order to actually remove their critical thinking and logical reasoning. And 300 million people in America have lost their ability to think for themselves logically, understanding truthfully that the mask doesn't work. And in order to keep that from people, you have to censor over 120 accounts on Facebook, on Twitter, and then debunk or try to debunk them or defame
and you can't
or demonize the individuals sharing that information.
Dr. Artis, I've been in big crowds. I've not worn a mask. I only wear masks if there's an elderly person.
I wear masks at the grocery store.
Could you put your mask on? I'll put it on. Other than that, I don't wear a mask. How did so many Americans and so many people in the world get bamboozled by this thought that, you know, because all of their science is arbitrary. They come up with, they just go out there and throw up a number. Especially Americans, I'm going to speak to America. When did we become so easily persuadable to give up our rights so easily because of so-called security?
Well, I'll just speak back to this because it is a huge, how did this happen? How did so many people get bamboozled? I get it because it's very frustrating for me to watch. And I'm very proud of you not wearing your mask and being in crowds because this isn't dangerous. 99.997% of all people who have ever gotten COVID and got sick from COVID never died. So how did we get to convince all these people to even take an experimental drug that has no promise from the FDA or the manufacturers that it stops you from getting COVID and stops you from transmitting it, which is by definition what a vaccine is.
Right.
But the FDA has fact sheets that says it does not protect you from getting COVID, doesn't protect you from transmitting it. It's only helpful at reducing how sick you get when you get it.
Yeah.
Well, that's ridiculous. And why are you injecting that into us if it doesn't actually protect us from getting it or transmitting it? Yeah. By definition, it's not even a vaccine. Why are people actually signing up for something that's not proven to be safe or effective? Wow. How did we get to that point? And all of it is driven by fear. The first thing every cult leader has to do, let's use the Mormon Church, for example. They make you scared that if you take off your Mormon underwear, you cannot make it to heaven with your family.
I did not know that.
The more you hear this, the more you believe that if you actually take off this garment, let's pretend it's the mask also, if you take that off, life is threatened spiritually and physically. It's going to affect your family because they can't be together in heaven forever. It's going to affect the earth if you don't get vaccinated and wear your mask, because now you're going to create a disease, a pandemic. And what greater way to inflict fear than by actually introducing you to something you can't see? No one can see a virus.
No.
So we're just going to scare all of you that you have to avoid everybody, shut down the world, wear a mask, get experimental vaccines and experimental drugs,
and
do whatever we say.
You know, there's some people that I know that just left their house.
Hmm? Mm-hmm.
Because Dr. Awarde here, she's the Illinois Department of Public Health director, came out one day. This is almost, I think it was almost a year ago. And she said, think of it this way. The bug are soldiers trying to get you, and you wouldn't care about your dog being groomed or want to take your dog to the pet groomers if the soldier was outside your door trying to get in your house and trying to get you.
You get shot.
And people listen to that because words have consequences.
Yeah.
And she said that, and there is a couple that I know, and they have a child that they just let out of their house. They ordered everything online. They would go out and wear masks and gloves to take their garbage out, you know, in the middle of the night when nobody else was outside. And that's the way they have lived for a year. I have another friend who her parents were so scared. They made her go to the bathroom in a bucket in the garage.
What?
Because they didn't want her to touch anything in the bathroom. And she said, well, I'll sanitize it. down when I'm done. They said, no, you cannot use the washroom. You have to use the washroom, pee in the bucket in the garage. I mean, that's how those are. And fear. Illinois is so much worse than Texas. New York is awful and California is awful. I mean, Governor Newsom said he's going to try and have everything open by June 15th. June 15th. Well, it's April, May, June. June 15th he's going to try if the numbers, you know, say it's okay. But masks are still going to be required.
These people.
Yeah, it's terrific know. For me. So I don't know if you know who this is, but there's the American cult expert. His name is Steve Hassan. He's written multiple books. He's been in the media. He even wrote a book recently called The Cult of Trump.
Okay.
Interesting. He actually writes in a book he wrote in 2013 that there's four types of cult, and I really think this is important for your audience to hear. Okay. There's four types. His book is called Freedom of Mind. I am not the cult expert. He is. I was just raised in one. He says there's four types. Religious. And then political, and then therapeutic, and commercial. And he says in order for a political cult, this is 2013, to be successful and be deemed destructive, successful and destructive, they only have to do two things to succeed, to brainwash and control their followers and citizens. Number one, they have to control the media. Number two, they have to prevent free assembly. And in this book, he writes it in all caps. They have to prevent free assembly. Now, what did they do come March of 2020?
Yep.
They prevented everyone from gathering in groups and churches and in schools and in works and in jobs and in airports and in restaurants and in bars. They took this away because in order for a cult politically to be successful, which this whole thing's political, by the way, remember, it was an election year. Okay. This is very political. You cannot allow people who have logic and reason to be able to congregate, to have their own internal discussions. You have to control the media and the information they receive and separate them from each other. So they made us all stay home and then pumped into our brains and into our minds everything on the internet and on the TV. And they just inundated us with fear, 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 messages of COVID-19 and this invisible soldier outside your house that's going to kill you, destroy your family. And this is very, very sad. I don't even know this. Smallpox, when smallpox during the 20th century was crazy, it's super infectious and it kills 60% of everyone who was infected with it. Killed more people than all the wars in the 20th century. 60% of all people died. In the entire world, COVID-19 killed less than 1%. My question is why did we not mandate the whole world have to be vaccinated against smallpox if it killed 60% of all people? Why are we doing it against a disease that every human being has the 99% success rate of their own immune systems to eliminate it?
Right.
Yeah.
And then what's the agenda, right? If you're going to push all these vaccines that aren't warranted for 99% of all people, why would they be pushing it so hard?
It's a great point.
Good point. All right, Dr. Brian Artis, we're going to have to leave it there. He's CEO of ArtisLabs.com and host of the podcast, The Dr. Artis Show. Thank you, Doctor, for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Good luck in the future.
Thank you. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
The moment has arrived.
Hey.
John Anthony from Black and Right Radio right here on AM 560 on Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. He is about to take, folks, his first dose of Balance of Nature.
Let's do it.
Drum roll, please.
Here we go.
Justin Finke. Yeah.
He's got some big feels, though.
I love Justin. He's so like, here he goes. If you're watching at the Matrix Home Solutions studio camera. Oh, yeah. He's doing it.
Done.
You did it that fast?
Six.
All right.
All
see,
six.
I do an actual shot of Balance of Nature. I crack open the capsules and put it in warm water, and that's how I take my Balance of Nature.
Well, this was my first one, so I will let you know.
Yeah. No, try it for a few weeks.
I'll
give you some bottles.
Okay, I will.
Okay,
I will.
I was supposed to save it for Paul Vallis.
Sorry, Paul.
But John filled in before you. Sorry, now he's not going to get the Balance of Nature.
I mean, he's an understanding guy.
Yeah, he'll understand. Yesterday, President Biden with his sales pitch to America, because now, you know, He wants to make room for $2 trillion in this infrastructure plan, which is more than just roads and bridges, folks, in this thing. And he said that he's not punishing anyone if, you know, the Republicans don't go along.
I'm not trying to punish anybody, but damn it. Maybe it's because I come from a middle-class neighborhood. I'm sick and tired of ordinary people being fleeced.
Being fleeced. Oh, God. Yes.
Why did it get soft?
I don't know.
I'm not trying to. Harry Reid. It's the Harry Reid effect. Yeah.
It was, I mean, these past few days when he's been speaking has been, it's just painful to watch him.
Yeah, it is.
And I know Dan hates when I focus on the fact that, you know, he's got early stages of dementia.
I agree.
But that first press conference he had was disgusting. I mean, how they could have let him become president, how the Democrats chose him.
Anyway.
And that, because then all of a sudden then he got mad and then he's angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the unions built this town.
Yeah.
And then he went back to.
Yeah.
I mean, it was psychotic.
It was.
Anywho. All right. Well, with more on this and what's really, you know, in the infrastructure phase of this, what's in it, let's welcome back to the program, Jimmy P. Jim Petlikoukis. How are you, Jim?
Good. How you doing?
He's a DeWitt Wallace Fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, where he runs the AE Ideas blog. And he has a column out, does America really have an infrastructure crisis? So let's begin there, James. Do we have a crisis?
I don't think we do. And I'm very skeptical of them people throwing around the word crisis, because they often do that. So you sort of stop thinking and just start, you know, agreeing to, you know, whatever particular thing they want to spend money on. If you look at, like, how U.S. infrastructure compares to other countries, it's really fairly comparable. I know anyone who does a lot of traveling will, you know, anyone who's traveled overseas, you know, sometimes will see great airports. But if you look overall at U.S. infrastructure, whether it is roads and bridges or airports, there's not a lot of difference. So if the U.S. has an infrastructure crisis, that means pretty much the whole world does.
And part of this is there's social reforms in this, including unionizing home health care providers. Can you talk about that? Oh, yeah. That's part of it. Because remember Governor Quinn tried to do that here?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That if you're at home taking care of your mom,
Okay,
that you should become a union member.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a big bill. It's a big bill, and there's a lot of things. I mean, as shorthand, we call it infrastructure bill. And I realize that some sort of cutesy names, you know, trying to say everything is infrastructure. Obviously, infrastructure mostly means things like, well, certainly roads and bridges, airports. I think, clean water, I would count that as infrastructure. And there's other things in this bill. There's increased science research. Not everything, just because it's not infrastructure doesn't mean it's not good. There's more science research in the bill. I think that's probably a pretty good idea. So then there's, you know, increasing money for Medicaid home services. Would I count that as infrastructure? No. It may be worthy doing, but I certainly wouldn't call that infrastructure. And to suddenly try to redefine things is you're really sort of misusing the language there.
So why is the president trying to use this infrastructure language as a basically saying we're competing against China in order so that we have to pass this $2 trillion bill because we're competing against China? Really? What are your thoughts about him using China as a scapegoat with this?
Well, listen, if I'm an American politician today and I'm trying to get something done, I would point to China. Whatever it is. Well, do we need to have better infrastructure? China. Do we need to have a lower corporate? Well, that's obviously because of China. Do we need to spend more in science research? That's from China. Should we spend more on education? Yeah, China. I mean, that, get used to that. When you have a big geopolitical rival, with a fast growing economy, you are going to point to that country as the reason you need to do just about anything. You know, why should there be the designated hitter in the National League? I think China. I mean, that's my issue. So they're going to sell it like that, and they're going to try to shove all this stuff together in one bill because they want to use this sort of reconciliation, this special legislative process to get it passed. So that's politics. But I do agree that, like, playing around with the language just makes people super skeptical and maybe unwilling to do the actual things we need to do to fix, you know, infrastructure.
Right. Yeah, and here is President Biden talking about China.
Do you think China is waiting around to invest in this digital infrastructure or in research and development?
I promise you, they are not waiting. But they're counting on American democracy to be too slow, too limited, and too divided to keep pace.
James, why are we comparing ourselves to a country that uses slave labor?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Yeah, well, I think we're comparing ourselves to China because they're big. They have an economy, by some measures, almost as big as the United States. And they're spending a lot of money investing in technologies, which seem to be, you know, very cutting-edge technologies, and we're worried that they will become the technological leader. China is a country of contrast, right? So you have places like Shanghai, which seem like, you know, that could be Manhattan, and you have very, very poor places. There's a huge diversity. So, but what we are worried is that they are seen spending a lot of money on things like AI, robotics, advanced nuclear power, and worried that in these areas, even though overall China is a poor country, they're a poor country with a fairly advanced technology sector, and they will take the lead in these technologies, which not only means that their companies may end up being the world leaders in those areas, but we're also worried about obviously the national security implications.
Yeah.
I do not want to live in a world where a non-democracy is the world's technological leader.
I agree.
Now, President Biden said yesterday that he's willing to negotiate the 28% corporate tax rate. That's part of this. And Joe Manchin suggested 25%. What do you think is a good rate?
Like one thing a lot of economists agree on is that you should tax things you don't want. Like, if you don't like lots of carbon emissions, you should tax that. You want companies to invest a lot, right? So the corporate tax is kind of inherently a bad tax. So I would like it as low as possible. If the point of the Biden agenda overall is the need to invest more in America, that includes certainly the public sector, but also the private sector. And we had this big corporate tax cut, as you all remember, under President Trump, which I think was a good idea. He should have paid for it, but the idea of lowering that rate dramatically was a good idea. Unfortunately, we launched this trade war at the same time, which really undercut the effectiveness of that corporate tax rate. So I would sort of leave the corporate tax rate where it is as minimum. And if you're trying to pay for this plan, and as well as stabilize U.S. finances for the long term, then you need to have a different kind of tax, whether that's a consumption tax, whether that's a carbon tax. But we need to think hard about how we want to tax America, because listen, it's not going to work trying to tax companies and the very, very richest. There just isn't enough money there.
Yeah, but James, listen, I've been in politics for 30 some odd years. One thing I know, any and every time I hear the word infrastructure, you know what it tells me?
What?
We have to pay back the friends to help us get elected. That's basically what the infrastructure bill is about. That's when Obama did his infrastructure bill, basically paid back the people to help him get in office. Now Biden is doing the same thing. So, I mean, politics, you're right. This is all politics when it comes to infrastructure bill. Because guess what? We still have trillions of dollars left of all of the stimulus money that is yet to be spent. So you want to go on top of the $4 trillion that we spend then. Now you want to do $2 trillion. What's next? Tell us. Just lay out the entire Green New Deal, basically, is what you're telling. Would I be wrong to assume that?
Listen, sort of the hot new theory is that debt and deficits don't really matter. And if they mattered, boy, it would be so far off, we don't have to worry about it right now. Once you sort of give yourself that sort of power that, okay, we think we really don't need to pay for things, and if we pay for things, we're gonna pay for them by really making it more of a political agenda because we don't like companies and we don't like rich people, so we're going to tax them. But once you think that we really don't have to pay for things, then everything sort of is on the table. You can have stimulus checks. You can pay for any infrastructure you want. You can spend as much as you want on investment. You can spend as much as you want on Medicaid. But the second you begin thinking we need to pay for things, then it forces you to make hard choices. And to govern is to make difficult choices.
It's true.
Do we need more infrastructure in this country? I think we probably do. But once you begin to think that, well, you don't have to really pay for it, then you stop thinking about what are the really valuable projects and which are the ones that are not.
You know, I fear that a loaf of bread is going to be $30 one day. I mean, think about it. Since Biden's taken office, and it's not that long ago, gas in Arlington Heights has gone up 70 cents a gallon. Mm.
Wow.
And how high do you think the gas prices are going to go, James?
I'm not doing gasoline forecasting, but I think there's a concern that you're spending a lot of money, that, you know, so one, you know, deficits don't matter, and two, we'll never have high inflation again. Yeah. Listen, we're pumping a lot of money into the economy. Interest rates are super low. It's not crazy to worry about higher inflation. People think like, well, the 70s are over, you know, no more inflation. Well, that leads me to the second, people think that we can never have higher inflation again. That's when I begin to worry. Ah, we're going to have higher inflation again, just to be a contrarian.
All right, James, before we let you go, what do you think of these celebrities filling in on Jeopardy? Have you been
I'm
watching?
I'm a LeVar Burton guy. I think LeVar Ooh. Burton should be the new host. He's outstanding.
Okay.
So that's what I think. So if
Good
you
choice.
A celebrity, he'd be a great celebrity.
Awesome. I hate did they ask, they didn't ask you to fill in, huh?
I'd be there. I'd be in Hollywood right now if they did.
I know. All right, James, thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
He's only you know
All
Jeopardy right. winner I've ever met in my life. Thank you so much for joining us, James Fathakoukas. His new column is, Does America Really Have an Infrastructure Crisis? And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook or read about it in the paper. Hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
All right, Governor Cuomo. Nipple rings, Gambino, that's what Sam calls him. Does he really have a nipple ring?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Actually, I saw his pictures and it looks like he might, but yeah. he's a weird dude. You know, because if you're accused of sexually assaulting or harassing 8 or 10 different women, what number are we on now? Are we on 10? Does anybody?
No
I think
idea.
We're on 10 women that have come forward accusing him. Would you describe yourself as tall, good looking, and handsome?
What?
Because that's what he did yesterday.
Hey, Governor.
Hey, Peter, remember me? Tall, good-looking, blonde hair, blue eyes, button nose.
Long time no see.
Yeah.
Was it appropriate for your family and friends to be tested for COVID when others could not? Were you involved in this?
Were you
aware of it?
Peter, the assembly is looking at testing issue, and I don't want to get ahead of them. But I was not involved in the testing program to that intimate level. People who I would meet with and I would be in exposure with, I was aware they were being tested. So if you came to see me in my office, you would be tested. And that applied with my family also. But
because they're doing a review on, you know, on whether or not he favoritism with COVID tests back in the day. Remember that when you couldn't get a COVID test?
Yeah.
Now they're everywhere.
Yeah.
But there's billboards up. Find out in 15 minutes if you've got COVID.
DeSantis has done this better than anybody.
Oh, but yes.
By far better than any governor in America.
And now we have somebody who's a Republican challenger to Governor Cuomo making the announcement today on Fox and Friends.
Lisa. Everyone is coming to the conclusion, whether you're Republican, Democrat, anywhere in between, that this guy has been there too long. It's time to go.
Lee Zeldin will be running again. He's a Republican congressman from.
And he's good.
Yeah. And from New York, obviously. And he's going to be running against Governor Cuomo.
And he's got a lot of street cred in New York, too, especially I think it's Albany. He has got a lot of street cred up there, and the way he handled himself during the impeachment process, this is going to be get your popcorn ready.
Okay.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. When you've got questions, he always has an answer. It's Sean Hannity this afternoon at 2 on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, we solved the Governor Cuomo nipple mystery. Some reporter who did not want to cover this story said, believe me, there are far more important things happening in the world and far more pleasant topics I'd rather be talking about. But almost a week after Reddit users first suggested that New York's governor might have pierced nipples, people are continuing to entertain the idea. And breaking news. And this is from the other day. So, and if you're watching at home, you can see a little picture here. So this looks like it's nipple tape that is covering, because that happens a lot with when guys wear white shirts. You know, you could see through the white shirt. You don't wear white shirts?
I put a t-shirt underneath it, you know.
Okay, well, if you're not, because look at, because he's got to show off his sexy chest there.
Yeah, I see.
You know, because it's all about him. I like the ladies, you know. He's looking, he's on the prowl, man.
Oh, good
so then
Lord.
He puts tape over the nipples. Oh, see, that's just weird to me. But I guess, is that a guy thing? Do you guys normally do this?
No.
No, you just wear two shirts?
I do. I have a t-shirt on under here, you know, a V-neck t-shirt, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
all of a sudden this got uncomfortable, and I'm going to not talk about this anymore.
Gosh.
Well, I'll save this for Dan Proft when he's back on Monday.
He will love that.
He calls him Nipples Gambino.
He will love that.
The Derek Chauvin case going on, and we all know that if it doesn't go the way the BLM wants, that they're going to burn it all down.
Yeah, I agree.
We've had activists here in Chicago say that, and, of course, in Minneapolis and all over the country in large metropolitan areas, that if he's not found guilty of first or second degree murder, then everything's going to be burnt down to the ground again.
But think about that. They're saying that, but then when they are convicted, they feel like the system is unjust. So they basically want to perpetuate a justice system that's not fair to him, but they claim that it's unfair to them. Does it make sense? We're really living in a bizarre world today.
Oh, yes, we are. With more on this, let's welcome back our very good friend, Ed Morrissey. He's senior editor for hotair.com. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, John.
Hey, buddy.
Do you want to talk about the governor's nipple patches?
You know, I guess I'm just too old to understand the appeal of that, but, you know, if that's the... it's certainly not the worst thing that Cuomo's done. So, by this point, it's almost a resume builder, I would say.
I mean, talk about somebody who's so full of themselves. Yeah. It just can't get any worse. And he thinks he's above the law and he's God. And, you know, he's selling himself to women in his office because he's single and he wants to mingle. And it's so creepy because he's dating. Some of the girls he's been hitting on are the ages of his daughters. Wow. He has three daughters, and that would... not sit well in our family. Anywho, okay, let's move on to what's going on in Minnesota, where you are the Derek Chauvin trial, because I'm with John Anthony's filling in today for Dan Proft. And you have a theory on this. He's a former cop, and you know Ed.
Yeah.
But tell him what your theory is.
Well, I don't see how they're able, they will be able to prove the intent that Officer Chauvin basically intended to kill him. Because I think this defense attorney is doing a masterful job of really sowing doubt into the juror pool, because first of all, he's funny, right. He's soft spoken, you know, and he's doing a real job, and he's putting the training. My buddy Mike Brown, he says he's putting the training of the Minnesota Police Department, and I think police departments all over the country, because training is so it's not adequate enough for what the police officers do on an in and out basis. I don't know what your thoughts about that, Ed.
Well, John, great talking with you again. You know, we've known each other for a while, so it's great, great talking with you and Amy. I haven't been watching the trial. I've been watching some of the analysis from, you know, Andy McCarthy over at National Review and my really good friend Scott Johnson at Powerline.
Oh, yes.
Been doing some great work over there. They're not quite as sanguine about the defense attorneys in this case. And what I would say is that I think you're right about the intent part, but that's really only... that really only applies to the second-degree murder charge. The third-degree murder charge doesn't really require an intent to kill, just
correct.
Depraved indifference. Now, it's called something slightly different in Minnesota statute, but it's basically the depraved indifference concept. And I'm not necessarily sure that they're not going to get to that point. And I always thought that the second-degree murder charge was a reach anyway.
Yeah. Yes.
But third degree might be in range. And look, I mean, I think that there was a lot of... testimony from Medaria Arredondo and some of the other police officers who got on stand and said, you know, that's not what we taught, and that wasn't necessary. And as soon as he was on the ground restrained, that there shouldn't have been any neck pressure at that point.
But I also think you well know, all you have to do is sow doubt into the juror pool, and I think that photo of showing where the EMT came in and was able to reach the cardiac artery, And you and then he introduced the show where the knee, that it wasn't on his neck. It was on his shoulder blade. These are things that sow doubt into a juror pool. And I think this is why it may even be because the second degree carries the longer term. The third, I think, is anywhere from 4 to 10 years. I agree with you. I've always thought it should have been manslaughter, a manslaughter charge, period, anyway. But I think these, again, I think because of that doubt that can be sowed, that this Chauvin and the other three should be get off just general purposes because they didn't really do anything.
No, and that one of them was a novice police officer, and he was just
a month out, right?
Right, or even less than that, I think. But he was just following the lead of his boss, who was out on the scene, you know, looking for some guidance. But I always think that this trial has been, or this case has been tried in the court of public opinion.
Yes,
and that there's too much on the line. If I was a juror, first of all, I would never want to be a juror in this case.
Yeah.
No.
Because there is just, I mean, would you, Ed, would you ever want to be a juror?
No. I'd written quite a bit about it. So, I mean, even if I was part of the jury pool, I was reasonably convinced that nobody in their right mind on either side of that courtroom would seat me on the jury. But, for a while they were talking about moving it to a different venue, and I live in an adjacent county to Hennepin. I was really hoping that they weren't going to move it into my county. I really didn't need that, and I didn't need the potential of being in the jury pool. But I think John's making some good points about reasonable doubt. It only takes one to hang a jury, but I think that from what I'm seeing anyway, and again, with the limited amount of stuff that I'm seeing, I'm watching Scott and Andy's analyses. I'm reading the daily reports from the trial from the various media outlets. From what I'm seeing, I think that the reasonable doubt is most likely just going to be aimed at that second degree murder charge and possibly the third degree murder charge. But the problem for the prosecution is if they only get a manslaughter conviction against Chauvin, it's going to make their trial against the other three officers really difficult because they really need a murder conviction in order to sustain the charges against the other three officers. They're going to end up having to charge them with something less. Yeah. And that, I think, will be politically fraught in Hennepin County.
Is Minnesota preparing for this, for the outcome? I mean, have you seen an increase in police presence, boarding up buildings, or anything of that nature?
I haven't seen that, but I will tell you that I think it was Minneapolis. I don't know if St. Paul followed suit, but Minneapolis, they used to have a rule that said you couldn't have outside barriers on windows for businesses. And you see these in New York City all the time. You know, you
Chicago, too.
So, it's fine. But in Minneapolis, it was illegal until just a few weeks ago. And now they're all installing those things. So I think that businesses are preparing themselves for pretty much what's going to happen regardless of what the trial outcome is. I think that no matter what happens, even if he gets convicted on second degree murder, you're going to have some problems out in the streets just because of, you know, the celebratory factor there too. So,
well, did Minneapolis ever recover from the riots in the summer? I mean, I went by Kenosha. I was up that way for a basketball game and I drove downtown Kenosha. Everything is still completely boarded up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And artists, street artists, they came in, put on whatever social message they want and painted with graffiti. It's nice. But, I mean, they're not reopening anytime soon. The stores are open, but, I mean, that is such a horrible look. Yeah. It seems so oppressive and so third world country-ish. I mean, has Minnesota gotten back up?
Not fully, no. I mean, there was a lot of damage. I mean, it was much worse than Kenosha. And the Minneapolis City Council didn't waive some zoning construction regulations that would have expedited the reconstruction. So there was some sense that they were trying to preserve these destruction sites as some sort of monument. It was just crazy around here, even in the post-riot atmosphere. Now, some of that has changed, and they're starting to make some progress, but it's going to take years before they even just physically rebuild, and I don't know that they're ever going to get the same level of commercial engagement that they did in Minneapolis for a couple of reasons. One is the pandemic. I think a lot of businesses now are convinced that, urban, commercial real estate is passe, you know, when you can send most of your workforce home and still get the job done. Yep. So I think that there's going to be commercial real estate problems in Minneapolis and other cities, but especially Minneapolis. There's going to be, and that's going to lead to problems for, you know, retail businesses down there that relied on the, on that commercial real estate business. It's going to be a cycle of downturn here, I think.
Yeah, and how are the COVID numbers, speaking of COVID, up in Minneapolis and in Minnesota in general?
That's a good question, because they were ticking up. You know, we were getting more positivity. We've got about 5% positivity in the state testing, and that has led to an increase in hospitalizations here. So we're kind of going through, it's not Michigan. You know, Michigan's got a real big problem.
I don't know what is going on in Michigan. That's bad.
Nobody's really quite sure what's going on in Michigan, but, you know, our vaccination numbers are pretty much in line with the national trend, but our cases are going up again, and I think it's because the weather hasn't consistently warmed up here, so people are socializing, but they're socializing indoors, whereas in warm weather states like Texas, Florida, and that sort of thing, what you're seeing is people socializing outdoors where transmission is almost non-existent,
yeah.
And that's the reason why their numbers are trending downward. And here in the upper part of the United States, the numbers are trending upward.
So, Ed, what's going on with the vaccine passport? What are your thoughts about it? Are there any security measures that you, I mean, I look at it from a security aspect, which I do most things, of what they can onboard to a lot of these type of things? Because I think it's right now is paper. I think the next phase is digital. What are your thoughts about having this vaccine passport?
Idea. I mean, it's first off, it's I don't know if you saw the thing with the I think it was the Yankees game where they tested one out. The New York Times tested one out, and it was buggy. It didn't work. People weren't able to get in, even though they'd been vaccinated. It's a terrible idea, because it's even on paper it's a bad idea,
yeah.
But in practice it's even worse. And what you're going to wind up doing is generating something that we've never really had in the United States, which is an internal travel passport. I mean, it's the type of thing that the Soviet Union used to have. I think that it's a dangerous way to go. I think there's certain things that you can sort of mandate when it comes to, well, you can't even mandate, but what you can say is, you know, like we do with kids in schools, if you're going to access government facilities, you're going to need to show that you've been vaccinated. I think you can do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, otherwise, I think it's really up to individuals to figure out what they want to do and how they want to do it. I'm going to a Twins game in a month, and they have rules there. You have to wear masks. You have to buy your refreshments with your phone app, and they will bring it to your seat. Which mm-hmm. I find that to be
that's awesome.
I like that.
I'm good with that.
I like that.
Bring me my
great.
Food. Come on, get in my belly. Well, did you get vaccinated? Or is that a personal
question? I did.
I'm
vaccinated. Okay. So I'm fully vaccinated. So I'm fine to go. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I think that there are ways that you work these things, but vaccine passports are just a terrible idea.
All right. Ed Morrissey, so good to talk to you
yes.
again. He's senior editor for HotAir.com, an all-around good guy, and I'm glad you got vaccinated.
Thank you very much, Amy. Thanks, John.
Hey, good seeing you, bud.
Thank you. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Connect with Dan and Amy on the AM 560 The Answer mobile app. Just text the word app to 64636 to download the app today.
All right, you wanted to get something off your chest, John Anthony.
I did.
You asked me since I've been vaccinated, and
yes.
you haven't, since I have this fancy, dancy, schmancy little vaccination card over here.
So when you went to get your shot, did you
yeah.
have to use an ID?
You have got to show a driver's license or an ID card.
That's
to
racist.
Get in. What?
That's racist.
No.
But
it can't be.
So it's okay to have show an ID for a COVID shot, but it's not okay to vote for when we vote for the leader of the free world, we're changing leadership positions
uh-huh.
to show an identification.
I know, it's crazy. And every time I go to vote, too, I always get out my ID and they say, oh, we don't need that.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to need that.
Yeah.
I need you to need that.
Yeah.
So it's crazier. Thanks so much for filling in today
for Dan Prof.
Dan will be back on Monday. I do believe he's at the Masters.
Oh,
well,
look at him.
Or maybe he's just taking it off to watch the Masters.
Yeah,
play golf
there.
And then watch the Masters.
Dan's probably there. And
yes.
then we'll play around once it's over.
Yes, exactly.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer. on AM 560, The Answer.